the Good Life community, and our four spheres of influence. Our last month on this, our last week on this. And I'm not going to go back and review the whole thing, but there's a couple of things that have been absolutely the significant themes of this. The first of those is that we are called to be agents of transformation in this earth. That Jesus Christ did not give his life so we could just attend a meeting. He gave his life that we could be shaped by his life to in turn invest and give our lives. The passage that focused a lot of this for us was 2 Corinthians 15:20. And it said this, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us." And that appeal of God is this, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. And this is what we should carry in our hearts for those we meet here, for those around us in our community, for those in our nation, and of course for this world, a cry in us that says, be reconciled to God. And it doesn't take much these days to realize we are in days where people desperately need to be reconciled to their Creator, to the living God, the God who loves them, is merciful and gracious and kind, but who is also the righteous judge who will not wait forever. It says that he is patient, desiring that none should perish, but that all come to everlasting life. But he also says a day is set when he'll bring all things to closure. And that truly should motivate us and call us out with this sense of we have a reason for living and a reason for our faith, that we might passionately pursue those in our sphere of influence. Because mission is about all of us. Mission is about being intentional. And mission is about purpose. What I went on to say is this, that our role is various in nature, but it's one in purpose. And that purpose is that people would know God. And I pause there for a moment because I want you to think on those words, the outworking of that call. Our role in it is various in nature, but our purpose is one. That people would know God. The question that we all have to ask ourselves is that being outworked in us? Our four spheres that we've talked through begin with this unique center that we've been given. It's unique in the community that we have been placed in. We have a unique voice in our nation. And the outworking of that is, you know, through all sorts of endeavors. We all have a voice, but it's also in our world. And all of us can be involved across these spheres. All of us can be involved at some level in this center, whether it be a part of serving one another in a Sunday gathering, or whether it be serving those who come to be a part of this during the week, or through sports, or through the gym, or swimming, or anything. There's endless opportunities. Or whether it is to have an extension into our community through your workplace, through your school, through your study, through your service, through your volunteer, through your voice to people. Maybe it is in the nation. Maybe it is through a political voice. Maybe it is through vote. Maybe it is through business. Maybe it is through one of those spheres that we talked about, those key influential places in our nation. But maybe it is in our world. In Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15, we read what Paul writes. He says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." That is a confident, deliberate statement. Everyone who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. But then Paul asks four questions. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they've not heard of? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? For it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." And we are the ones who are called to be the bearers, the carriers of that good news. These four questions I just want to look at for a moment. How can they call on him? How can they call on the one that they haven't believed? That's just a natural question that Paul presents. How on earth does someone call on someone they have no idea is there? Now, God has said in Romans chapter 1 that he has made his general presence known in everything, that so no one has an excuse to not be aware of his presence. He did it in everything he put his hand to. But there's more to just knowing of his existence. It is actually calling out to him. I had an amazing opportunity this last week in a wonderful conversation where a person that I really do care about but has no real desire to engage with God came to me in conversation, and I said, "You know, can I pray?" And they said, "Well, prayer doesn't mean much to me." And so I asked a simple question. I said, "Are you willing to engage the word if?" What if? What if there actually is a creator? What if he has declared himself? And what if he wants us to come to him and to know him and to know his working in our life? What if? What have we got to lose by just asking? And this is the thing. We are those ambassadors that have to engage these moments to invite people beyond their denial, but sometimes even their obstinate sort of position they're in, to go, "What if? Can I invite you to explore that question?" And then we get to sort of say, "You can call on him. But more than that, you can fully engage him." But how will they believe if they haven't heard? God sometimes does the miraculous. You read in the book of Acts, and that's where we've been reading this month, the miraculous conversion of Saul. That he is hell-bent on the destruction of the church, and Jesus just meets him in the middle of a roadway, blinds him, knocks him to the ground, and says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" But that is not the rule. That is a moment that God just sovereignly invades someone's space, miraculously calls out their name, and changes them on that spot. But more often than that, God has empowered us and called us that we are that voice, that we are the one that is the call, that we are the one who is the invitation. And they hear of that love and that grace because we begin to share our story, our journey. And then Paul says, and how are they going to hear if someone doesn't preach? And this is where a lot of people go, whew, that's Tim's role. You see, all I have to do is get him here, and then Tim takes over and he does the preaching and it's off my hands. And if they don't come to the knowledge of God, it's his fault. But that's actually a misunderstanding. And I'm sorry to deflate you like that. Because that word preaching is got nothing to do with a pulpit, with a podium, with a microphone, with one person doing the talking. That word that is used there deliberately by Paul is this. It says this, how will they hear without a messenger? How will they hear if someone isn't the herald, if someone isn't the messenger who comes to them and says, I have news for you? And that is all of us. And how will anyone go unless they're sent? And again, people go, whew, I've never been sent. Well, wait just a couple of minutes. Because if actually you've missed it, some of the first places we hear it is Jesus himself. When we read the New Testament, Jesus multiple times says, I'm sending you. He says it to his friends, to his followers. He says, I'm sending you. Now go. And he says, we just read it in the beginning of the book of Acts, at the end of the Gospels, he says, go therefore into all the world. He says it to his friends. He says it to them when he meets them in the beginning of the book of Acts, and he says, wait for the Spirit to come upon you who will empower you to be my messengers, but then what? Go. Do it. Be about this. And this is where we have to realize that it's about all of us. This week's memory verse was Luke chapter 10 and verse 2. And Jesus, speaking to his friends again, says this, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And the prayer would not be send someone else. The prayer would be send someone. And then recognize that you're a someone that he might choose to send, whether it's across the street, across the room, or across the world. We are called to be that. Now, harvesters harvest when the fields are ripe. And there's an interesting thing. I just read an article recently that is saying there is a tide in the world today. Our current world conditions are very unsettling. And when things are very unsettling, people become more and more willing to ask big questions. When things are settled, people tend to just settle in and feel like they've found the answers. When everything moves into upheaval, people very quickly want answers to the questions that are stirring. And we live in a time right now which is very, very unsettled. And there's all sorts of, you know, words spoken about religions, that they're a religion of peace. And then we look at the world and realize actually there's not a lot of peace. But Jesus came with words like, I'll give you peace. But peace not as the world gives. Peace that's not just based on everything being good, but the peace of my presence, the peace of who I am, an indwelling peace that the world can't give and the world can't take away. That's a good news message. That's a good news message that is so vital in the world we live in. And we're the heralds of that message. I believe we live in days that are ripe unto harvest. But people are longing to hear a message of hope, of restoration, of reconciliation. But any farmer would tell you, you've got to be in the field when the fruit is ripe. We've got to be engaged. From the very beginning, the Good Life Church has taken the call to go into the nations as a very serious call and also as a very engaging invitation. There are those who have responded. We've never just seen it as a general duty or someone else's call alone. But we encourage people in development, in participation, in strengthening, and in transforming our nations. This infographic here is in the years of Good Life's existence. This is where in the world folk from Good Life have gone out, have been involved. Some are still in those nations. But this harvest field is ripe. And whether it be, if you look along the bottom here, that there's education or medical relief or work of reconciliation or child development or Christian leadership development, ethical commerce development or community development, there are people who are involved all over the world. And then on top of that, there are all the nations that Compassion International is involved with, that World Vision is involved with, and many of you are involved with those organizations and others who are sponsoring children to see them develop and develop their communities and develop their nations. And what we call the global impact of Good Life continues to expand as individuals and as families invest themselves in nations, in regions, in people groups, through both direct personal engagement, but also through development organizations. And although it might seem to many like a fanciful notion that, you know, that I could pack up my family and go somewhere like that, that notion is actually what cripples many of us, because we look at this and go, man, that's just so beyond me. I couldn't do that. My kids are young. My house, my work, my finances, and because of those things, we end up sort of pushing them aside. There are young families that have gone, that have packed up, some that have gone to relatively peaceful places, those that have gone into very dangerous places. Continue to pray for Tim and Sarah and the kids as they've really felt that it's right for them not to leave where they are again, not to just run, but to invest themselves. It's a hard call. But they've gone back to continue the investment of themselves. Adam and Rachel Jeffs with three with the Buxtons, two with the Jeffs. They've packed the family up. They went. Why? When I was talking with Adam, he said, just realized we were too comfortable. That our lives were simply too comfortable. It's a fanciful notion as long as we keep it at a distance. But even if you're not going to go into the nations, you can invest in our world through, number one, prayer. Last Tuesday night, we had a wonderful gathering of prayer. We had about 75 people come together. Now, my hope is, as we make this a more regular thing, and the goal right now is that it become quarterly, that's where we're going to start, that that will increase, not decrease. When there are somewhere around 2,000 people that would say Good Life is their church home, we can all come together and pray. And 75 people is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful start. And some of us I know can't. There are people that do shift work. There are those who have young children and schedules and things you need to cope, to keep. But I also know for many of us, we have a regular TV show that we might watch. We might not just like to go out at night. But I have to say, I don't think those are great reasons not to come and pray for a time together once a quarter. For these four spheres, for our world, for our nation, for our community, and the work that God is doing in our midst, do not underestimate the power of prayer. God has invited us to engage Him, to come to Him, to make our requests be made known before Him. And I really do pray that our hearts would be moved. This is an area that all of us can be involved in. And secondly, giving of ourselves, of our resources. I just went through some figures. I am stoked. I really am so thrilled. I was looking through some of the figures of just the last years, that in about the last 5 years, the Good Life community here has put about $1 million into the nations through the offerings from here. And I know there are those that have invested greatly on top of that. But we believe that it is a significant call that we should be taking of that which we're blessed with and deliberately investing it into the nations. A part of the offerings each week is set aside to go specifically into the nations. I would say this, and it's another big, in-your-face kind of challenge. You should be giving. Now, people shut off when pastors talk about giving. I am not begging. Don't think that this is just a money drive. This is a heart call. It's a heart call that I ask simply, who is Lord of our lives? And it's not just giving of our resources, it's giving of our time. People could serve on the mission board that are strategizing for our involvement in the nations, could get alongside those, could be a part of home groups that are actively engaging with those who are in the field. It's bringing our talents and investing them in the nations. The Timmers have taken a team for years now into Fiji to build. And maybe it's your skills that it's time to not just use for your own self, but to invest in the nations. And the best way to find out about how to is to be in touch with the missions board, with the global impact team. The third way of investing in our world is encouraging, staying informed and communicating with others who are out there. If you talk to the Compassion Board today, they'll tell you, apart from the sponsoring, the next most important thing you can do is communicate. It's to write. It's to invest yourself in the story of the individual who we pray will go on to shape a nation wherever they are. It's encouraging. Those who have gone out as a part of that global impact team here, it's staying in regular communication with them. And John will have a table that's out here today that has our partners who are out there. There's magnets. You can stick them on your fridge. You can get email addresses. Find out how to communicate with them. You can get in touch with Lynette, with Mac Bentley, with Compassion Team that are here, with the Varna team. And find out how do we invest ourselves in those young lives and in those nations. And then fourthly, it's going. Going is still an active call. And I want to let you know that there are still those who are going. We just saw Jared go this last month. A young man who felt the call in his 20s to go into a nation that is not an easy nation. We've got two girls who are going out this next month with a real heart cry to know, God, what are you calling us to? They're going out to explore with Youth with a Mission. But at the same time, we've got a local Youth with a Mission base, and we're about to have pretty close to 70 students come in on two different schools who are setting aside this time of their lives to go, God, what are you calling me to? And I don't know if we've ever just stopped in our stage of life and just said, it's pretty risky. God, are you calling me? He might say no, and you might go, ooh. I hope that wouldn't be the response. I hope if he said, you know, not at this time, you'd be bummed. But it's still an active, ongoing call. And all of us can be involved. We can all do something. And I'm actually going to give you exposure to two active opportunities. Greta, if you'd come. Andrew and Greta Stanley years ago did exactly this thing. Andrew and Greta, in the later years of life, I remember Andrew telling me this story that they took a piece of paper and they just signed their lives over very physically and said, whatever you'd call us to. And they went into the Baltic region with a real heart cry to see reconciliation come in those divided nations. And they spent years living there, working there, serving there, developing a ministry called Daughters of the King, which specifically reaches into the women of that region who again are deeply troubled, to rebuild into them their knowledge of their worth in the sight of God. And there's an opportunity that Greta's just going to lay out there for next year, because every year you do a Daughter of the King conference, which invites ladies of those nations to come together. What is your hope for 2015?
Thanks, Tim. My hope for 2015 is that a group of women from Good Life Community Church would come with me to have that experience. So I just want to challenge you this morning. If you haven't found a place in this month of missions, ask the Lord whether he would have you come to with me next year to Daughters of the King. Ruth and Lloyd Carey have been twice to Daughters of the King, and Lloyd has come up with a great travel plan for next year. So we've got a table out there. You can come and see us. So it'll be a bit of a mixed. It'll be missions as well as sightseeing. We'll have the Daughters of the King, which is in April 23rd to 26th next year, which is going to be in Bosnia. And then we have about 10 days before we go to Macedonia to have a mini conference for the poor of the poor. So in between those two conferences, you'll get an opportunity to see some of the beautiful Croatian coastline, some of the other beautiful places, and you'll also be able to visit local churches, have an opportunity to share your story, bring a word of encouragement, And you'll also be able to visit the pro-life centres that have all come out of Daughters of the King. And over the years, every time I come back, somebody, quite a few of you come back and say, I want to go to Daughters of the King one year. I want to go. Well, next year is your chance to go. Lloyd and Ruth, can you just stand up to identify yourselves wherever you are? They're going to be out there at the table with me, and Lloyd's got it all worked out. He's got the whole plan. You can ask him all the questions. You can also take a tin home to fill up to send a lady to the conference. Thanks, Tim.
This is just a simple way that you can maybe be engaged. Maybe you've never been out before. Maybe, you know, sightseeing is what makes it all right for you. But I want to challenge you. Take the sightseeing as a blessing in the midst of the bookends of the purpose for going there. Ladies, pray about it. Would you have a voice in that nation, in those nations, in those ladies' lives? But maybe it's not going, and we really are strategically looking at seeing trips go out into the nations more than we have in the past. But from right where we are, there is that continued way that we can invest ourselves, and that is through the work of Compassion International. Last year, I had a real privilege to be invited to go as a part of a compassion team into the nation of Haiti. Stephen Jeffs and I went from Good Life as a part of a team of ministers from around this nation. And I have always believed in the work of compassion. I've always loved the idea of investing in those children's lives, to see them develop, not just to see them fed and protected, but to watch children develop. To watch them not just stay stuck in this cycle of poverty that continues to drive them downwards, but to be released from that spiral, to actually take a courageous move in life, to take on schooling, to then, if available to them, to take on leadership development, to then take on key roles in their community and even in their nations. And being in Haiti, I tell you that I absolutely saw the work of compassion at work, but working. Not just seeing that there were, you know, good things happening with kids in schools, but seeing the transformation in individual lives, in communities, and sit with those in Haiti that are positioned to change the direction of that nation. Because of the continued investment through the work of compassion. And many of us, last year I loved when we came and we just put a little white figure on the curtain for children that we were sponsoring. We were in the vicinity of 500 children sponsored through the work here and through compassion predominantly, but then also through World Vision and the work of Vana. But we believe wholeheartedly in this, and I'm going to invite Stephen Jeffs, who as a part of, you know, his world, took on a partnership, and we're going to introduce the idea of what we believe lies ahead for us here. Stephen.
Yeah, so as Tim said, we had this amazing trip that we were able to be a part of last year. But for me, the journey probably started a couple of years ago. And last week here, I was able to share how we use our business on a day-to-day basis to impact people's lives. And I just, as a way of introduction, just want to show you a short video clip. And just to put it in context for you, this is a trip that I did 2 years ago where I took some of our team that I work with each day. And we visited Indonesia with compassion. And we visited some, you'll see some reference to LDP, which stands for Leadership Development Program students that we met over there that we're helping to get through university. But I'm a strong believer that you actually take people and get them to see these things firsthand. And the impact that has in their life, then is, you know, they come back and the way they advocate on behalf of the organizations they're able to see the work of is amazing. So let's just watch this clip and then I'll come up and wrap up. So this particular trip, as I said, we took some of our staff on this to let them see firsthand what was going on. We got to go into the homes of the children that we sponsor. I got to meet Elvin, the little sponsor child that my family supports, and we had, you know, had a meal with his family and be in their home. We got to pray with kids. We got to play soccer and just hang out and do a whole lot of things. But probably one other aspect of the trip that Tim and I got to do when we went to Haiti. We had been out on this day trip, and we'd gone to again just to see one of the compassion projects, and we were driving back in a bus. There was probably about, I don't know, a dozen of us in this particular bus. We were coming back and just about to get into our hotel, and we came to this really busy intersection. If you can imagine, I don't know, maybe the Kentucky Fried Chicken intersection, you know, the all equivalent, but the difference being that there were literally hundreds, even thousands of people around this intersection. There was market stalls happening, so everyone was purchasing and doing their trade for that particular day. And as we pulled up into this intersection, right just outside our window, and I can probably, it is etched in my mind and probably will never go from my mind, was a woman standing there completely naked. He was a young woman who, I don't know her story, I don't know her journey, I don't know what led her to this particular place, but all I know is not only was that woman there naked, she had been stripped of every sense of dignity, every amount of honor, every bit of protection and justice that that woman should and rightly deserves. And as I said, I'll remember that every moment of my existence on this earth, because to me, that's not acceptable. And as a church here, and whatever your sphere of influence is on a daily basis, we have the opportunity to see those sorts of things stopped. To be protectors of the innocent, and to be protectors of those who, you know, are recipients of injustice. And for us as a church, and, you know, the culmination of this trip that I was able to do, and Tim and I going to Haiti, as a leadership, we feel very compelled, more than we have in the past, to be deliberate and intentional in putting our hands to the wheel and seeing this sort of thing stopped. So come October, we're going to share some really exciting initiatives that we feel that each of us, at whatever level that you can contribute to, whether it be those things that Tim said, whether it's praying, whether it's giving, whether it's going, that we're going to launch a new initiative, Compassion, which is a church partnership. And it's not just about it being intentional in helping this, but it's being also intentional in relationship. Where we form a relationship with another church in another part of the world that maybe isn't as fortunate as us. And so I just ask you to, you know, be excited about this. You've got a whole lot of people out there that you can go and connect with now. And then in the coming months, we'll continue to share about these new initiatives that we're going to launch in the days to come. I firmly believe that as a church, as blessed as we are, it is beholden upon us to make a difference in the lives of those who are less fortunate around the globe. And I know you guys will rise to that challenge as we walk out this journey in the days to come. Thanks, mate.
Genuinely excited about that. And we've specifically, we're pursuing a specific region. Some of those children are available from those projects. If you want to talk with Lynette or Mac, you'll notice them. They're by the big compassion stand in blue shirts, and they love to talk compassion. But we are going to be deliberate of partnering, engaging, that we will touch a location. It's in the Western Indonesia area, because we also want it to be an area that's not so far away that we might never be able to send teams there. We want to connect in such a way that we're also putting teams on the ground, engaging with that community in reciprocal relationship. And so we just, again, when we began this month, talked about that mission is intentional and it's purpose-driven. And this is what we have to realize. Everything we're doing, we need to be intentional. We need to be really deliberate about that. Jesus said this, "Let me give you a new command. Love one another. And in the same way that I loved you, love one another." Jesus' love cost him everything, but he knew it was worthwhile. And he says, "This is how everyone will recognize that you are my followers, when they see the love that you have for each other." It's a reality that we live in a world that is obsessed and obscured by self. Self-awareness, self-development, self-preservation, self-assertion, they can all be good things, but when self-focus is all we have, it very quickly becomes self-centeredness, and self-centeredness just becomes selfishness. And we have to be so aware of the way that we live our lives, and so we are determined to live life. And I, as Tim Lovell, current leader of the Good Life Community and Good Life Community Church, am choosing that I will live my life with a focus and a commitment to others. That I will choose to spend my life serving others. That I will unashamedly put my hand to acts of service in this community, in this center, where I can in our nation and where I can in our world. I will lead like this. And if you want to come on this journey, I invite you to come. But come wholeheartedly. Come prayerfully. Come expectantly. Because we are determined that we will live a life that will bring change to others. And that we will live a life as agents of transformation that will bring hope, that will bring grace and mercy and justice. And I say welcome to the road ahead as we walk in mission, the natural outworking of our faith every day of our lives. Would you stand with me? Lord, you have called us. You've set us apart. Lord, we hear the call of your Spirit. And Lord, we now stand before you, both as individuals and as a community of believers, as bearers of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as sons and daughters and servants of the living God, we offer ourselves to you and say, Lord, have your way in us and have your way through us to the glory of your name and to the extension of your kingdom. Amen.